Let's talk about Riverside.fm, the leading podcast and video creation platform that's changing the game on how creators record content. Riverside FM allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video on their platform. Now you can interview a guest 1,000 miles away and it'll sound like you're sitting in the same room. It's as easy to use as Zoom, but gives much higher quality audio and video recordings. Did we mention that they have a mobile app? This allows guests to connect directly from their phone and record content from anywhere. After your content is finished, you can easily grab clips to share them across your social media channels. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to other video content, you should be using Riverside FM. Sign up today so you can focus on your content and leave the quality to Riverside FM. Use promo code SHIPIT and receive a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. That's promo code SHIPIT to receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. Back to the show. Welcome to the City That Never Sleeps podcast. I'm Josh and I'm joined by my co-host Alex, and we are here to talk Knicks, talk Nets, talk a little bit NBA Finals, and give our top five guards, forwards, and centers, which will come a little bit later in the show, as well as our Knicks and Nets trivia questions, which we will get to later in the show as well. That's always our last thing in the show, though, so look forward to that. I guess we will start out with the NBA Finals because that is what we want to talk about first. We've watched two games so far, and the Suns have, I would say, won by slim margins, but in the big scheme of things, done very well for themselves, and I had them winning the finals. I don't know about Alex, but I say they're running away with it right now, up 2-0. Obviously winning both games at home, but I think they will be NBA champions. I think that's just the year that it looks like they've been having, and throughout this playoff run, I think they've looked better than the Milwaukee Bucks and have had the easier time in the Western Conference. That might just be me. Alex, how are you, and what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, for me, I would never say a series is over right now. I think you got to wait to at least game three. If they take a 3-0 advantage, I think you could wrap it up there. But I think if the Bucks pull it back to 2-1, I think the series is back on again. In terms of how the two teams are playing, I mean, Chris Paul, Devin Booker have been going off. In general, that Suns team has just been playing extremely well, whether it's Jay Crowder, whether it's DeAndre Ayton, whether it's Mikal Bridges, whether it's Cameron Payne. I mean, they're all just – everyone is stepping up on that team. And for the Bucks, it's really just Giannis. And Middleton had a very poor game in Game 2. He only had 11 points, I believe. Jrue Holiday – you know, made a bit more of an impact defensively, especially, but still wasn't great. Giannis had over 40 points, and he was really carrying the team. You could see he was in a bit of discomfort throughout the game. He had to come out a couple times to kind of like ice that knee, or at least like put some sort of treatment on that knee. And so he came out a couple times, but he was absolutely destroying the Suns in the paint. So, you know, if the surrounding cast could do better, then maybe the Bucks can get back into it, but the Suns are a really well-oiled machine currently. So, I mean, that's pretty much it for the finals. I mean, obviously another game this weekend here. It's a must-win for the Bucks, right?
Oh, that's how you were ending it. I didn't know that. I thought that statement was going to
go. I was setting it up for you, you know? I was just being nice and pleasant. I was like, they're going to have to win the next game, right? And then, like, I was hoping you would come in and be like, yeah, Alex, for sure.
Well, your statement ended with, like, a weird, like, couldn't find the mouse to mute it, which, by the way, I'm not going to cut out now that I just mentioned it. But I just heard, and then, like, you exiting out. So it looked like you were scrambling to mute there for a second, Alex. Or maybe that was just me and how it came off.
I don't know, maybe. But, you know, I was just trying to keep a clean transition. It just obviously...
It didn't sound too good. I mean, you'll hear when you, you know, listen to the episode how you click there. But, yeah, so basically, yes, it is a must-win for the Bucks, Alex. But I think my Suns are going to pull through. But my pick for the NBA Finals, I think the Suns will come through eventually. Maybe in five, if they're lucky. But I would say in six is my guess. What about you, Alex? Your NBA final predictions? I know we should have done this before the finals, but whatever. It is what it is.
I think Suns in six as well, actually. I know that's really boring, but, you know, just a solid prediction. I think the Bucks will win game three.
Okay. Well, we'll have to wait and see, and we'll check that out. I guess when you're listening this, what is it? It's Saturday's game, right? So tonight, when you're listening to this episode.
Yeah, so I think it's Saturday night, right? And a funny story from game two, you know, they have like those challenges online where it's like, guess, you know, certain players, like points, rebounds, assists in a certain game, you win $100 or whatever. So I saw Sal was doing that, and it was like Chris Paul's stat line, and I got everything to a T, but he had 23 points, and I put 22 points. I got the rebounds right, and I got the assists right. I was killing myself, but... Yeah, that was just a funny story.
So you're basically saying you were a point away from $100?
Yes, I was a point away from $100. You know that and one that he had at the end of the game? If there wasn't a foul there, I would have been doing well.
All right, well, you know, we move on to this is an interesting transition. Sorry, I'm coughing a little bit here on the podcast. This is an interesting transition. To what we'll talk about next, and I think Alex knows what's coming, is that the Brooklyn Nets news, and the only news that we have for today, is that James Harden was, in fact, not arrested, but what was it? He was stopped by cops.
Temporarily detained.
Temporarily detained, and in a video on Twitter, was probably surrounded by six or seven cops or policemen in Paris, France, for Fashion Week, I believe is what it is. And I don't know.
He wasn't joined alone.
Oh, are we going to mention? Well,
he wasn't the only one who got detained.
Well, do we know if Lil Baby was in the vehicle?
We don't know. All we know is he was actually arrested, right? And well, temporarily detained. And yes. You can see in the video that Harden's trying to negotiate his way out of it, which is kind of funny. But yeah, well, he definitely got into a bit of trouble there.
Yeah. So to give you some context, Lil Baby the rapper and James Harden were hanging out, I believe. I think also Kanye West was there with the group as well. I think.
What a trio.
Kanye, Harden. And Lil Baby. So Lil Baby was actually charged for possession of narcotics. Is that what it was?
I think that's what he was charged with, yeah. But he was actually arrested,
He was actually arrested. He's in police custody in Paris while James Harden was just stopped by police. So Lil Baby and another individual are in police custody, suspected of transporting illicit drugs. The Paris prosecutor's office told CNN on Thursday, basketball star James Harden, most recently of the Brooklyn Nets, and Lil Baby were in Paris for Fashion Week. Social media posts shown from the rapper. And Lil Baby's detention took place in Paris 8th. Aaron Dicement this afternoon. Harden was stopped by... what?
Indictment.
Indictment. Why is it spelled that way then?
I don't know. Don't ask me. I when I was little, I always said it like that too. I was like,
when I was little,
well, thanks. I'm not saying like little. I'm like
what?
2 years.
No. A R R O N D I S S E M E N T. That's indictment, Alex.
Wait, spell it again.
A R R O N D I S S E M E N T.
Wait, no, that's not an indictment.
Yeah, that's not an indictment. Exactly.
I don't even know, because I suck when people like...
Aaron Dicement, I guess. That's what I said.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
Well, any spelling majors, let us know.
Yeah, Aaron Dicement, Paris. A subdivision of a French department for the local government.
Okay. So it's not actually...
Arrondissement. Like Arrondissement.
Yeah, there you go.
I think is how it's pronounced. But you know what? I wasn't even wrong, and Alex, you were wrong. So anyway, James Harden, who we actually care about here, not how to spell Aaron Dicement or whatever, was stopped by the police, as shown by a video widely shared on social media. but he was not detained. An investigation is ongoing. The prosecutor's office also told CNN, which I obviously read the article from there. So there we go. That's the one news from the Brooklyn Nets, Alex. How do you feel that that represents your team?
I think it represents, you know, my team greatly. I think, you know, he was found innocent at the end, obviously, due to the fact that he was let go. So, you know, it was just a little mix up, I think. And also,
Just a little mix up.
Josh, let's also just remember that James Harden is your favorite non-Knicks player, at least was, correct? So, you know, what does that say about you?
He was when he was on the Rockets, but now I've lost all my hope and happiness towards James Harden. But anyway, let's go to the team that actually matters in New York City, and that's the New York Knicks, which we actually have a little bit more news on, an actual factual news, not players that are getting arrested that are on my team, Alex. Yeah, you hum over there all you want, but let's start out with the article that I'm actually pulling up from the Daily Knicks, and Alex, you can chime in here too. This was an article released, how the New York Knicks can become a super team this summer. There's a few steps in here. Alex, you tell me if you agree with these trades, you know, signings, whatever it is, and we go from there. So the first step here on this article is that the Knicks trade for Damian Lillard. They give up, although they give up, R.J. Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley, Obi Toppin, the New York Knicks 2021st and 2023rd first-round picks, and they do a pick swap in 2022 and 2024. Yes or no? I guess I'll go first. I would say no, because I do want to keep Emmanuel Quickley. I do want to keep Obi Toppin and RJ Barrett as well. I don't think we need to give up all those picks. Damian Lillard, as amazing of a player as he is, that just isn't, you know, I don't want to give up that player. So yes or no, Alex?
I would say you remove RJ Barrett, and yes, if not, no. That would be what I would say.
Interesting. So remove RJ Barrett, because I know a lot of Knicks fans actually don't like RJ Barrett. They think he's not good.
Well, I think RJ Barrett is a more established player than Emmanuel Quickley. I think he's going to be a better player than Emmanuel Quickley. I don't think he's, you know, obviously Quickley has the recency bias, right, of playing very well this season. But if you look at it, RJ Barrett had a decent season. Don't get me wrong. I'm no RJ Barrett fanboy. I always make fun of him constantly, but you know, he had a decent season. I don't think you let him go, especially, you know, you want to keep, you know, if you're looking at it right, you got Randall, Barrett, then Noel, if you keep him, and then you would get Lillard. I don't know who you'd have at the two, but, you know, there's options there, I think. Whereas Barrett, I think that just leaves a massive hole if you let him go.
At the two, I guess it would be like Reggie Bullock, you know, if we resign him, which we'll get to later. Yeah, we'll get to later, though.
I mean, that's a team, right? You got an all-star and a superstar in that team, right? So, you know, you're looking better, I think.
Okay. Hold your thoughts, though, on Reggie Bullock and stuff like that, because we're gonna get to him in a little bit in this article. So the step two is find somewhere to trade Kevin Knox. Alex, if you don't even know who Kevin Knox is, not like saying it like in a bad way. I'm just saying it.
No, I do know who Kevin Knox is. He is the best cheerleader, bench warmer I've ever seen.
Thank you. Very excited. Thank you. Yeah, get to my point of if you didn't know who he was, which most people shouldn't, because he doesn't freaking play. And that just could be Tom Thibodeau and his system, which it is. But the guy doesn't play. He sits on the bench. He's an early pick for the Knicks and just didn't, I guess, work out. I don't really know.
I heard from Knicks fans the next Kevin Durant. I remember that one.
Okay. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate that. Didn't have to, you know, chime in that way, but fine.
Yeah, I felt like it.
Of course you did. But yeah, so this says here, step two, find somewhere to trade Kevin Knox. Obviously, probably not a lot of teams are going to want a bench warmer, but if they do, because they saw how good he can be from last season, the 2019-2020 season, where he actually played a good amount with David Fizdale, then hopefully we can find somewhere to trade him and get rid of some cap. Step three is the NBA draft. Obviously, the Knicks, we've already talked about this, have a few picks in this draft, and getting the players at the guard position and the centers most likely, which, you know, we talked about last episode. If you haven't already, go listen to it, where we talk more draft, Knicks and Nets oriented. And yeah, I mentioned that the guard and the center is the two positions that the Knicks really need to value, just because you have Gibson, and Noel, who are both on expiring contracts. We don't know if either of them, both, you know, either of them, one of them or none of them will be re-signed. You have Mitchell Robinson going into his final year of his contract. He's injury prone. We don't know if we're going to want to, you know, sign him after, you know, this upcoming year. And then you have the guards. We just never had a true point guard. Yes, Emmanuel Quickley is looking to be that, but we don't know it for sure. You have Derrick Rose, who probably will re-sign with the Knicks. He's off, also on an expiring deal this summer. And he's like 32 years old. So, you know, we have to figure out another option there. I think Rose is actually older than 32, and I feel like we talked about this before, but the man is 32. Okay. Look at me nailing it right on the dot. Yeah, Alex, you don't even need to speak on the draft picks. We talked about this already. So number four is pick up Mitchell Robinson's option. I actually just mentioned it. So he's only slated to make $1.8 million. You know, I guess the plan is just to pick up Mitchell Robinson's option. Alex, yes or no to picking it up?
Yes.
Thank you. We move on. Nice, quick, and easy. Step five is the final step in this process, probably the biggest one, and that is to renounce all other cap holds and non-guaranteed contracts to sign Kawhi Leonard. Obviously meaning probably to also not re-sign like any of the players who are on expiring contracts, it seems like, in here. Just anything that we don't need. And, I mean, there you go.
So if you're looking at that, right, you don't have RJ Barrett. So you're looking right now, you have Damian Lillard, you have Derrick Rose, then you have Kawhi, Julius Randle, and then Mitchell Robinson. I mean, that's a pretty good lineup. It's a very good lineup.
And obviously they have mock picks in here that they took at like 21 and 32 that they kind of threw in there as well, because you'll have those three or four draft picks that we have in the draft as well from the first round.
So two of the big things that make this, right, you're thinking, number one, will the Trailblazers accept that deal? Probably not. They'd probably even want a couple more picks is my guess. With the RJ Barrett included. Would Kawhi Leonard want to come to the Knicks? That's also another big dependent question there. But if all those things align, then yes, I think that's a pretty good team and a team that's capable of making a finals run. I mean, if you're looking at it, right, I think they match up pretty well with most of the teams in the Eastern Conference. Obviously, Kawhi is excellent defensively. I think they actually match up against the Nets pretty well in that scenario. They also match up decently against the Bucks, but obviously I'm not sure if you guys have that great solution to Giannis, as you know, we've been seeing all the teams in this playoff struggle with. So, you know, I think if you were able to pull that off, then sure, but I don't think it's possible to pull all of that off. Maybe one or the other is my guess. I don't think you get Dame and Kawhi, and I don't think Kawhi is going to want to join if Dame's not there. So I think the only possibility is just Dame. I don't think Kawhi on his own will happen. And I don't think both will happen.
Yeah, I just thought that's a cool thing, obviously, in this time period where we don't know what they're going to do in the draft and the offseason when it comes to free agency as well. I thought that would be a cool thing to kind of mention and talk about a little bit. The next thing is we don't have a lot of Nets rookies or younger players on the team. Well, guess what, Alex? The Knicks do. And two of them, both New York Knicks first-round picks, Emmanuel Quickley and Obi Toppin, have been selected to be on the USA Select team. And they were, quote, you know, there were a few quotes from both of them that I would like to talk about. Actually, one of them is with your man, Kevin Durant, on the Brooklyn Nets. And we'll talk about that and, you know, IQ's relationship with him. So I'll go into quotes. FYI, I'm not really good at reading quotes. So Alex knows. Right, Alex? I'm sure.
Yes. Would you like me to read the quotes? Because I'm always a nice quote reader.
No. let's go on to the first one. If it's really bad, we'll go from there. But I know I'm sure you wanted to make a comment before I started out there. So I just gave the space for you to do so. So the first one is from Emmanuel Quickley. He said, quote, "When I was selected to the select team, I was really excited, really grateful," Quickley said from Vegas on a Zoom call. Just to pick people's brains, like talking to Kevin Durant today, just being around the pros and best basketball players in the world is a great experience. And then he said also, quote, "Just talking to KD today, and he told me we can get some work in when we're here. That's probably the best thing any of these guys can say. They're willing to work out with us and teach us. That was one of the best things I heard today. Being here at USA Basketball, I'm just trying to work on things that I didn't necessarily show last year, which is my mid-range game, my pull-up, creating for my teammates, and consistently running a team, which I've been doing here. Playing a lot of point guard, it's been a great experience. Defense is another thing. Getting stronger. I don't feel like it's just one thing. If it was just one thing, I'd be the best player in the world, but I'm not. And then a quick quote from Obi Toppin. He said, "The message the coaches told me coming here is just to be a sponge," Toppin said. "There's great coaches and players out here, and just get better and develop my game. I'm working really hard in this offseason to be better for my second season coming up. It's just going to be a lot different than the first season." So both quotes from Emmanuel Quickley and Obi Toppin, and I don't know how you can be a Knicks fan and not like that both of these players are at the USA select team or on the team in Las Vegas. They get to hang out with other players in the NBA and spend time with the top talents in the NBA on the USA team and get some, like Obi Toppin said, be a sponge, talk to players, get help from players. I think, like, there's no one that should be, like, upset with this. You know, unless obviously an injury happens, that's a different story. But, you know, gotta hope for the best. They shouldn't be doing anything too crazy there. But I think it's a great experience for both of them that they're gonna get. Alex, any comments on this? I'm guessing there won't be any, but just before we move on.
I don't really have any comments. I mean, good for them. I'm happy for them. Do I really care too much as a Nets fan? No, not really. Yeah, good for them. And, you know, I'm glad they're improving as players. Moving on now to, you know, the headline kind of this episode, the top five guards, forwards, and centers in the NBA. We each have our own lists. So guards, obviously point guard, shooting guard, forward, small forward, power forward, and then centers at the end. Quick disclaimer of a couple of the players that, you know, kind of can go in between. Giannis, we will have the forward. And I mean, that's pretty much the only one that's kind of like in between sometimes, because obviously Giannis played the five quite a bit last night. But yeah, without further ado, let's get into the guard position. And I will go first at number five. I'm going to have James Harden. I think James Harden has been absolutely sensational this season. He's averaged 24.6 points a game, a little over 10 assists a game, and a little under 8 rebounds a game in this season. Obviously, some of them he moved. Some of the games he played in Houston in the beginning of the season, only a handful, and then obviously moving to the Nets. He suffered with a few injuries, especially in the playoffs, but was a top performer there, and obviously I couldn't leave him out of this list. Fourth, I have Trae Young. 25.3 points per game, was carrying the Hawks throughout this playoff run. You know, just had an incredible season. We really saw the best from him when he really took over in that Knicks series, in the Philadelphia series, and obviously in the Bucks series, where they were unlucky to lose. But yeah, Trae Young for me has to be at number four. And his fellow draftee, Luka Doncic, I have at number three. He averaged like 36 points per game in the playoffs, which was nuts. He really, you know, he needs help on that Mavericks team. But during the regular season, he averaged 28 points a game, 9 assists, 8 rebounds. And he was just sensational this season. I think he's only going to get better. Number two, Damian Lillard. I think this one's just obvious. I mean, he just put up some insane performances throughout this season, individually, you know, helping out his teammates, and really his teammates let him down multiple times throughout the season. Averaged 29 points a game and 8 assists per game this season during the regular season. In the playoffs, he had some extremely good performances. And at number one, I think this one is non-debatable. It has to be Steph Curry. Averaged 32 points a game during the regular season and, you know, was in the MVP shouts, obviously was beaten out by Nikola Jokic, but Steph Curry, if his team was better altogether, I think, you know, maybe he would be the MVP. But because his team really just was bad around him, you know, he really carried his team to those play-in games. But Steph Curry, number one for me.
Alex, could you alert us on what the movement is in the background?
I don't know what the movement is. I can't tell you, but I will be muting myself now because it is very loud.
Yeah. that was funny. I just love like the in-between noises as you're presenting whatever you're talking about there. Okay, so I'll move on to mine. I think you got everything right except number three. Number four. You're disrespecting one player that I like to talk about. So we have James Harden is good at five. We have the same exact list. Luka Doncic is good at three. Lillard is good at two. Curry is good at one. You're disrespecting Chris Paul. And we talked about it on the phone the other day when we were prepping for this. Chris Paul, we're talking about right now. Chris Paul has completely performed in the playoffs for the Phoenix Suns and probably will be the NBA Finals MVP since the Suns will win, obviously. You know, my pick, obviously, you know. But anyway, he's just been sensational. The first two games against Milwaukee in this NBA Finals, he had 32 points, went 12 for 19, had 9 assists. And then last night when we're recording this, or I'll just make it easier for the people listening, Thursday night, 23 points. And I think you just need to put him at 4 right now. But Trae Young, I get it. Knicks killer as well. Okay. Let's move on to forwards now. Okay, so for me, I have Giannis, obviously, at number one. I'm interested to see if Alex will debate that because I know he was talking about, again, on the phone, if Kevin Durant is better than Giannis and how he can debate that Kevin Durant's better than Giannis. I have Giannis 1, KD 2. I have LeBron at 3, although I feel like he's falling down this list as the years go on. And Kawhi Leonard at 4, and Zion Williamson I have at 5. Obviously, I feel like in his first season came in late and wasn't as big a performer as he did this year. He really stepped it up. Not saying he was bad last year. He just came in late. But obviously the number one pick, and he definitely showed up this year. So that's my five. Giannis, KD, LeBron, Leonard, and Zion Williamson.
So for me, I am going to put Giannis at the top here. If you know, kind of how I think of this is if I was starting a team, which player would be the first player I'd pick? And it would probably be Giannis and then Kevin Durant if I was picking a forward. So that's why I'm going to go in that order. Three, I'm going to have Kawhi Leonard. I think you had him a little bit low at four. I think he's debatable in the top three conversation. I think Giannis, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, I think those three are like up there. And then there's kind of a little bit of a bigger gap when you get to the next players. I have Zion at number four, averaged 27 points a game during the regular season. You know, really was underrated. Obviously was, you know, highly rated coming into the NBA, but people kind of forgot about him and he had a very solid season. And I have LeBron at number five. You know, obviously he's just been falling off a little bit. You can't blame him. You know, he's 36 years old, almost 37. So, there's only so much you can expect. And the fact that he's still averaging over 25 points a game at his age is truly impressive. So you have to give it to him. Respect.
Respect. And then finally, centers, which is, I feel like, a stacked position at this point, which I feel like all of the positions are. But the young talents are shining through in a lot of these, especially here. Debating, this is probably one of the hardest, if not this was the hardest, yeah. The hardest one and two in this whole thing, Joel Embiid or Nikola Jokic, who's number one? I think it's Joel Embiid. The guy is unbelievable. He's a beast. He runs point guard and he's a center. I mean, I know Nikola Jokic does as well, but I just think he's a hell of a player. And that's why he's my number one for this so far, or not so far, this season. He's not still playing. I was saying it like he's in the NBA Finals. He averaged about 28 points per game, 10 rebounds. He's number one. Number two, Jokic. Three, Rudy Gobert. Four, I have Karl Anthony Towns. And five, I have Bam Adebayo.
So for me, I'm going to go with Jokic number one just purely because he was the MVP and I kind of prefer his playing style a little bit to Embiid. But like you said, it's really flip a coin between those two. But Jokic definitely, had an extremely good season. There's a reason why he won MVP. Two, like I said, Embiid. Three, I'm going to have Clint Capela. I know this is kind of like a different one here. I know Josh and I have very different lists when it comes to the centers. Clint Capela was amazing for the Hawks. The pick and roll action between him, Trae Young, there was a lot of great play from Clint Capela, and he was excellent defensively, even against Giannis. in the conference finals. He was good against the Knicks. He was good against the 76ers up against Embiid. So I thought he was truly impressive. So I have Clint Capella at three. Josh has something to say about that, but I do have Clint Capella at three. I have an unorthodox list.
Yeah, just real quick. He only averaged 15 points a game. It's the big thing you're looking at is the rebounds, which is about 14 a game. So he went 15 and 14, getting a lot of double-doubles throughout the season. But when it comes to point totals, you just see that, I would say, personally, defending my list, sorry, Alex, that like Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns stand out more points-wise than Capella does. But anyway, continue.
I'm also looking defensively. I'm also looking, you know, all around in his game. And I watched a lot of the Hawks games this season, so maybe I'm a little bit biased, but I was just, you know, enamored by the Hawks this season. And I really enjoyed watching Clint Capella, and I thought he was excellent throughout every single game I watched. So that's why I really have him here at three. Jonas Valanciunas at number four for me. Again, not a thing about points per game as much. There are centers that average more than him. There's centers that average more rebounds than him, more assists. I just think he was very good, again, with Ja Morant for the Grizzlies, and I think he's a top center in the NBA. And Bam Adebayo for me at number five. Didn't have the greatest season, but I think was still solid for the Heat, and I think he's still a top five center in the NBA.
And to our final section here, the trivia section. I will start out first with Alex's next question because I feel like it, and because this one is an Alex special. He thinks he's funny. He thinks he's hilarious because he can, you know, throw out the questions that are, oh yeah, they have an obvious answer, and then it's like the random player on the bench, right, or the two or the three guy. Actually, Josh, it wasn't Julius Randle because that's the obvious answer. It was Reggie Bullock, right, Alex? That type of thing. I'm waiting.
I'm not even answering, but yeah, sure.
What do you do it all the time? So you know what? I'm gonna throw one at you. But you're lucky I gave you a warning because maybe we'll guess the player. Who has the high or who had in the 2020-2021 Brooklyn Nets season the highest free throw percentage? And you're welcome, because now I gave you a hint, because it's not like the players you're probably thinking of or
free throw percentage. So obviously it's not Kevin Durant, it's not James Harden, it's not Kyrie Irving. Is there a minimum amount of games for this person? Was it someone who took like two free throws the entire season and made both of them?
Alex, would you like me to give you the answer? Like,
no, but is there a minimum, or is it anybody who ever took a free throw for the Brooklyn Nets?
For whoever took a free throw this season, the three players that here, I'll tell you the players who didn't take a free throw this season, or was it three? One, two, three, four. The few. Do you know Chris Chioza?
Chris Chioza, he definitely did not.
Elias Johnson, Timothy Luau-Cabarrot, Reggie Perry, and Mike James all did not take free throws, so they are eliminated.
Oh, I'm surprised Mike James didn't take a free throw. All right. So I'm looking at someone like Tyler Johnson. I'm looking at someone like I was going to say Nick Claxton because I'm thinking like someone really weird, but it's not Nick Claxton. Because I do remember him missing a free throw.
Oh, missing a free throw, right? Like,
well, because he only took like two throughout the entire season. So if he misses one, it's like 50%. I'm going to go Jeff Green.
Incorrect, but you did say the name.
Tyler Johnson.
Yes, correct. Tyler Johnson had a 100. Actually, Alex, it is not Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, or James Harden like you would think it would be. It's Tyler Johnson with 100% accuracy for the free throw line. Look at this guy.
Let me guess, off of two free throws.
I don't have the numbers, which I wish I got. I'll find it while
it's definitely like two. It can't be more than five.
I'm sure it is.
All right. I'm still upset.
Okay. Well, guess all what? Right. Kyrie, actually, I'll read that off, had 92%. Harden had 90, and Durant had 87. From the line. But here, wait, let me... Tyler Johnson. Who do you think... This has to be... I have to be the only person that looks this up. Tyler Johnson free throw percentage.
The only person that cares.
All right, let's see. We're going to look. From the line, he had...
Well, obviously at 100%, but the real question is here.
Did he take one. Two?
Oh my god, so he scored an and one probably at the end of the game.
Well, it says free throw, 97 points. That can't be right. This is probably per game. No, wait. shooting. Do you have your question, by the way?
Yes, I do.
Okay. But you're really waiting on this answer. Here, wait. How many free throws did Tyler Johnson have this season? That's an easy question Google should answer, right? But of course it doesn't come up. Like, I have to deeply search for this. Like, come on, Google.
And actually, Josh, it is 85%, not 100%.
No, that, Alex. So, what? No. Well, then why would it say 100 when I looked it up?
Well, let's see. Nets, right? We're going to the Nets here. Where's the Nets? Teams. Nets. Roster and stats. Here we are. All right. What? No, I want the stats.
Oh, my God. It was showing me the 2019.
Aha. Here, I'm going to find it. Three throw percentage.
I'm looking at the Nets website, and it says he had
100. It is Elise Johnson. Or Spencer Dinwiddie.
Looking at the 2020-2021 player statistics on the Nets website, and it says 100%. But you know what? Okay, we're just going to skip my question. This is how this week is going. Alex, just go. Just go. It's over.
All right, so my question is, who holds the franchise single-season scoring record for the Knicks?
I just like to say before I answer that question.
Bob McAdoo.
What? I'm not. Excuse me. I just like to say before I answer that question that we'll have more preparation next episode so I don't sound stupid asking you my question. Continue.
Yes. Ben McAdoo. Bob McAdoo. Almost Ben McAdoo.
Ben McAdoo. Giant head coach.
Ex-head coach. Bob McAdoo. Mm-hmm. Richie Guerin. Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony. And the total is 2,347 points in a season.
Anthony. Please.
And the answer is?
Not Carmelo Anthony, of course, because I don't get any of
these
right.
Patrick Ewing. Yep. With 2,347 points in the 1989-1990 season.
Well, because that was the obvious answer. And you're an Alex. You're an Alex. Because you're Alex.
They're both kind of obvious. If it was really not obvious, it would have been like Bob
McAdoo. But I thought it would, you know, I shouldn't choose the obvious one of Ewing because it's probably not Ewing, like who had the most, whatever. Go follow Alex on Twitter at @Anorian23. I'm wrapping this up now. Go follow me on Twitter at @Joshola29. Go follow other podcasts at Talking Blues Pod, at The Giant Take Pod. Go subscribe wherever you're listening. Drop 5 stars. We'll have more preparation for next episode. I'm going to say it again. This the ending. Besides the ending of this episode, the trivia section beyond was not so good. So that's where we're going to end it right now. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time for another episode.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason, and this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.